Welcome to the Otherworlds GG Community Cast. This is episode number 29.
Woo woo!
Getting up there. That's right.
It's like time travel. It's a week later, yet it only feels like an hour.
I am Hunter, aka Table for Two, and I'm joined by, as you have heard, Mellified and Alien Pickle. What's up, fellas?
Hey, this is Mellified. I am doing wonderful. It is a lovely day here in Texas, and I have zero plans of going outside. So
zero plans of going outside into that weather. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Why waste this beautiful day when I could be inside playing games?
Exactly.
As we noted in our last episode, we are going to go all in on the Steam Deck, and we're also going to cover a little bit of the Switch OLED upgrade coming out. So yeah, big news, Steam Deck. This was a rumor that came out several weeks back. There was this rumor talking about them coming up with their own Switch-like console, and here it is. It is here, and boy howdy. I've been seeing a lot of people. I've seen big channels, little channels, individuals that are trying to talk about this potentially being some kind of Switch killer or competitor to the Switch. Honestly, if there's any competition going on here, it's going to be with the Game Gear. I don't know. Like, what do you guys think?
I don't think Valve is trying to compete with the Switch. I think they are clearly inspired by what the Switch has done to unlock people from a desk or a family room TV.
Sure.
And let them game, you know, out in the world or on the go or whatever.
Right.
And they said, well, you know, we want a better hardware platform because the Switch, even the brand new OLED Switch that was just announced last week, is using a Tegra processor from 2015 still. So, you know, they wanted something more modern.
So to kind of cover the Switch stuff as we go on, there was no real significant upgrades to the Switch upgrade other than the OLED, better battery life, a new kickstand, and a slightly larger viewing screen, but the resolution and the frame rate is still the same. So,
yeah.
There's really a lot of questions being asked of Nintendo that does an OLED screen really justify an upgrade? I say
$50 too.
Right.
They raised the price.
I mean, if you've already got a Switch, there's no reason to buy a new Switch just for that, in my opinion. But
I unless you play almost exclusively undocked, I agree with you.
Okay, and then that's the good contrast. So here's the Steam Deck. Now, I've been very critical of the Switch as a portable device. Not because I think it's a bad idea, but in terms of people like myself who, you know, they're the market for it, right? Like, I love Nintendo, but I'm not a mobile Nintendo player all that much. Like, if I'm playing on my, you know, 3DS XL, I'm sitting at home playing it anyway. I'm not usually taking it with me. And that's me, right? That's my play style. I'm not necessarily taking it with me to play with me as I'm out and about somewhere, usually. The thing that I find interesting about this device is I feel this is not necessarily more a response to the Switch. I think that this is Valve's response to a couple of other things. I think this is Valve's response to the ecosystem war that we are starting to see the early stages of, right? With the Microsoft platform just dominating right now, going everywhere. Sony's trying to figure itself out. You got Nintendo, it's doing its own thing out there. But Epic is starting to slowly, I think, really creep in on what Steam is doing. I mean, you see like a couple of free games released almost all the time. I mean, and not just like little games either. They're big good games. They just did Abduction the other day. Now, granted, these games have been out for a while, but, you know, as a new gamer, for new gamers out there, if you're going to want to pad your collection or your gaming potential, Epic is doing a phenomenal job on getting people PC games that may not otherwise have them. So Valve's coming out with this piece of platform here, and for all intents and purposes, looking at it, based on the specs, I do joke, it does give me Game Gear vibes, because I feel like I'm looking at like a modern future version of a Game Gear when I see this thing, just because of it's black, it's kind of got that that weird, I don't know, it just kind of has the vibe of it. If you've ever seen a Game Gear and you look at this, you're like, oh. But... you know, for Valve's sake, they've had a weird history with hardware.
That's an understatement.
Right. Well, weird and largely unsuccessful, if I'm being honest. I mean, their controller wasn't that great. Their 3D platforms are really expensive. There's been a lot of complaints about the control failures on their 3D stuff, or their VR stuff, excuse me. They've done the Steam Link device, which is essentially like a little like Android device that sits by your TV. Now, for what it's worth, that thing is fine. Like I've never really seen a lot of people complain about those. But they kind of undermined themselves when they came out with the Steam Link app, which could go on any Android device, right? You can put it on an NVIDIA Shield TV, you can put it on your phone, you can put it. You know,
it even works on iPhone now, which right, I didn't realize until recently. So
it works on iPhone, and there's also a PC app too. So like, if you have like a laptop, and you want to like play off of your laptop or something like that, because it does work over the internet. So like, you can Steam Link stream to yourself essentially over the internet if you've got good internet at home. So they've essentially nullified the fact that they need their own little set-top box. Now, this is an interesting change of events, because it puts them in all the places, right? So they don't need that little set-top box. I find this is funny because of the way what happened with NVIDIA, right? NVIDIA did their NVIDIA Shield Portable, then they came out with their tablet, and then they came out with their set-top box, and then they kind of just stayed there, and they kind of iterated on their set-top box, but they never gone back to the tablet. Valve went the opposite direction. They went to a set-top box, and now they're going to this. And I think this is definitely more in response to a lot of those third-party companies out there that have been coming out with handheld PC-like devices to be able to play PC games on the go. There's about a half dozen of them out there right now on the market that are pretty new, that have come out within the last year or two. All varying degrees of success, depending on how you look at them. And Valve coming out with their own first-party version of this is really interesting, considering we've had this discussion before on the show. I feel like we've talked about this where, you know, back in the day, Razer did something like this, right? They had the Windows tablets that had the controller dock that you could put them in, essentially, and they did away with that. But here comes Valve. And I think one of the biggest concerns people had with this when they first saw it was that it's basically running a version of SteamOS on here. It's a newer version of SteamOS, which is a Linux-based operating system, which means you need to have Linux compatibility with your games, which if your game supports Vulkan, then automatically out the gate, from what I understand with the way this shit works, I'm no expert, so don't take my word for it. It's going to work on their platform with much more ease than, say, one that's not.
Vulkan definitely makes it easier. Vulkan's now part of the OpenGL spec, which is supported pretty widely on Linux. So that helps. Interestingly and weirdly, if a game has been ported to Stadia, it also helps, because Stadia is a Linux-based platform. So the expectation is that anything that's on Stadia could easily be ported to this and run natively. But
I feel like my beef is the only stuff that's going to get ported to Android is stuff that's, if it's an older game, it's already there or it'll not be.
Android?
Not Android, Linux rather.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, I'm making sure.
Okay, so anything that's going to get ported to the Linux platform that would work on SteamOS already is there or will be a new thing. Because I don't see a developer of some 10-year-old game that I like coming back to just port that shit to Linux so I can use it on my handheld.
Well, here's the kicker, though, to all of this. As we've been finding out, as more news has come out about this, Valve themselves have said, this is a PC. It's a PC hybrid, but it's essentially under the hood. It's a PC, and you can install Windows on it.
But not Windows 11, because it doesn't have trusted computing platform.
Yeah, the TPM, the trusted platform module. Yeah. Well, and that's fine. I mean, Windows 10, but still, the point still stands, is what I'm trying to get at here, is that this thing will be able to support more than just the Linux version of Valve. It'll be, you can essentially get it to the point where you can run the Windows version of things. You could run more than just Windows.
Install Windows, install the Epic Store.
Right, you can install whatever you want. Now, here's the other thing. They came out with three versions. Now, the thing to note about these three versions is the basic hardware in these things is all the same, with the exception of the storage, right? So if you, no matter what version you get, the hardware that's running everything to run the games is all the same, with the exception of the storage. Now, the base model comes with a 64 gig eMMC device, which is not a, one, it's 64 gigs, which is not a lot of space. Two, it's eMMC, which is not very fast. So it's really kind of like a, like I kind of get you in through the door kind of thing. The thing that I'm still on the fence of understanding, and I've seen reports that presumably you can upgrade the hard drive in this thing, but I don't know if that's a true thing or not, but I've been seeing some reports here and there saying that you can. But
it's not recommended.
But it's not recommended, right? So the middle tier that they've that's out there is their 256 gig NVMe SSD, which that's a nice little bump. It's a nice little bump in speed. It's a nice bump in storage space. You'll
nice
be able
bump
to definitely.
In price.
And it's a nice bump in price too for the U.S. based. It's that goes that that'll bring you from $400 to $530.
Right, so the low version of this thing that's not even using an SSD, it's using that whatever memory.
Essentially, it's using an SD card, yeah.
Right, so that our discussion about, like, well, do you want to expand it with an SD anyway? Because an SD is slow as shit, and it'll make your games worse. So the base model is that, period. So, yeah. I feel like, okay, the market that this thing is a response to is that, well, the joke that Mel posted in the Discord was hilarious, right? It was like people that finally want to play their like hentai porn games like under a tree in a public park.
And, yeah.
Right. But there's a ring of truth there. Not just the hentai part, but the Switch itself. When the Switch first came out, all these guys that had cool indie games on Steam immediately made Switch ports and made bank.
That's true.
Yep. And they were like light games that ran well on the Switch. You know, Darkest Dungeon is like the prevalent one that I could think, like, wow, that thing perfectly suited to a handheld experience. A lot of these games that are Steam games where I'm like, you guys didn't. Okay. Dicey Dungeons does not have a mobile port. I think that's freaking ludicrous, because that is the most tablet-ass game I've ever seen that doesn't have a tablet version. It's crazy. But it would be perfect on this thing, like, day one. Boom, put it there, right? They didn't port it to Switch yet either. I think they're working on that. But why that thing was not, like, an Android tablet or an iOS thing on day one, I'm confounded. Because it's literally a tap-on-the-screen dice thing. So I feel that there's a big market there for
games. There is, but I want to continue on with the point that you're making here in just a second. The middle tier has that larger storage. It's faster storage. It's going to come with a carrying case, and you're going to get some exclusive little Steam Community Profile bundle. Then in a more extreme hike in price for more storage and US base for $650, you get a 512 NVMe SSD. And it'll also have a premium anti-glare etched glass, exclusive carrying case, exclusive Steam Community Profile bundle, and exclusive virtual keyboard theme. Now,
in a world where Call of Duty is 270 megs to install, or 270
right.
gigs to
something,
install,
something like
the
that,
only
yeah.
version is the premium version.
Right. Now, right, here's the numbers are actually looking really good on people that are putting in reservations. This is not confirmed people that are going to actually buy it, but the reservation numbers are rather high. Funny enough, when I made my reservation, it told me that my reservation expected time would be quarter one of 2022. If you go to reserve now, your expected delivery time is going to be quarter two 2022.
Except for the high-end one bumped out to Q3 now.
Yeah, the high one bumped out to Q3 now. So people are the numbers are really high for the high-end one. Like, people are reserving the high-end one left, right, and center. And so it's looking pretty good on those numbers. Now, this thing is going to have a dock that you can buy separately, but any USB-C style dock is going to work with this, from what I understand from what they were saying. So you don't actually have to get theirs, because it is using the universal C connector for all that stuff. So if you have one that you already got, or you have one that you like. But here's the thing. I think this is really an answer to people who want to be a little bit more mobile with their PC experience, but don't want to invest in a full-on gaming laptop. I think this is going to give them that, and the fact that you can dock it and turn it into essentially like a little mobile PC, and almost take it with you anywhere, I think is pretty spectacular. I'm very curious about its functionality over time. Like, especially if they decide to come out with like newer versions, newer technology with it. It'll be very interesting to see. Now, you were talking about, though, Jim, with the indie games that are coming out, like, you know, it is a great opportunity for that kind of stuff. And I wholeheartedly agree. And,
because you don't have to make a Switch version and go through their approval process. It's just like, well, hey, we put it on Steam. Boom.
Here's an opportunity, though, for Valve to improve some things with Steam, though. Steam has gone through several iterations of itself over the years, and I dare say in some cases it feels like it's gotten worse. Like, Steam forums exist, but I don't use them. I think so many people have just jumped on the Discord bandwagon that so few people actually use the social features of what Valve has going on with Steam. But I think this could potentially put more emphasis on that going down the road. But, you know, the fact that I could sideload Windows onto this thing means I could potentially put Discord on this thing, and so it becomes kind of like a, you know, a null point anyway.
It'll also run all of your pirate wares.
Yeah, look at that. So,
and it'll also become immediately the best emulation platform ever, because it's a PC. Kapow!
Right.
Right? So all your emulators in one place.
Well, and I'm also kind of curious, too, with having it at home, does the Steam OS have baked in the Steam Link app feature? Because if I'm at home, maybe I don't have a game installed on it that I still want to play in the living room experience that I could just Steam stream at home with it. And yes, I'm wondering...
Well, it does do that. So if you think of this as your toilet companion, you could be playing a game from your PC, streaming it over your local network to this device, playing it, you know, on this device while you're sitting on the can.
So you can actually gate camp while you poop in EVE.
Oh my god.
Well, you never have to miss another EVE event for any reason.
Well, right. and here's the other thing about this thing. I'm actually really intrigued by it, and I do criticize the controller layout. Like, I think the name of it is really dumb. But because it's the Steam Deck, and then you have the Stream Deck, which, you know, is the Elgato, or not Elgato,
yeah.
But who?
Yeah. Elgato.
Yeah. So it's a little confusing, because the same day that this was announced, Elgato announced their new Stream Deck. So it kind of got buried in the news.
Oops. I want to maybe take just a minute to go through the actual hardware, because I think it's really interesting. Digital Foundry did a comparison against the Xbox Series S. And it's surprising how well this lines up, which is why I think it's really interesting. So the Xbox Series S is a downscaled version of the Xbox Series X, targeting, originally Microsoft said 1440p. I think generally speaking, what we've seen is it's hitting about 1080p at 60 frames, more or less, you know, for any game that that's on the Xbox. So the Valve Steam Deck has half the processor cores, half the threads of the Series S. It has a variable clock that goes from 2.4 to 3.5 gigahertz, where the Series S is at 3.6. They both use the same GPU architecture. They both can run up to the same GPU frequency, the same speed, although the Steam Deck is variable again.
So which GPU is this?
This is the RDNA 2 AMD GPU. Okay. And the GPU compute clocks in at between 1 and 1.6 teraflops on the Steam Deck. It's 4 for the Series S. Now, this is where things get a little weird. The Steam Deck has 16 gigabytes of low-power DDR5, 16 gig, whereas the Xbox has 10 gigs of DDR6, although only 8 of that is available to games. So the Steam Deck has twice the memory, although it's slightly slower, of the Series S. And then you've obviously got the various storage options that we've already covered, the OS we've already covered. And then finally, the last bit that's kind of an interesting comparison, the Steam Deck is clocking in at about 20 watts of power draw, including the display. The Series S clocks in at 82.5 watts. Now, the reason I wanted to dive into this is the Series S being targeted at 1080p, arguably. That's about 2 million pixels. The Steam Deck is a 1280 by 800, so a 16 by 10 aspect ratio screen, which is just about a million pixels. So what we're seeing is the Steam Deck has half of everything the Series S does, and it's trying to meet half the resolution. So it doesn't seem unreasonable to think that we're going to see performance comparable to the Series S in games.
Now, from my understanding, though, when you hook this thing up to the dock, it can push 4K.
Well, I mean, I can push 4K with anything, basically, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be able to render it at 60 frames or even 30 frames a second, right? Like,
that's fair, but
yeah. You know, I mean, it just because it can do it doesn't mean you're actually want to do it, or maybe you have to turn the effects all the way off. You have to turn everything all the way off to actually get, you know, 4K 60 frame rates or even 4K 30. One thing, this is a 60 hertz display on the Steam Deck. One thing that I've heard some teeth gnashing about is that apparently does not support variable refresh rate, which would have helped with the frame rate if the frame rate was below 60. I'm not convinced that whether or not that is available. I mean, it doesn't seem like it would be a huge increase in price to do that. So maybe we'll see some more about that later. But I don't know. I mean, it seems like it would be at least a reasonable alternative as a handheld. I think docking this thing is about the silliest thing you could do, because the processor is just really underpowered for.
Well, it just makes yet another Switch. Gaming. It makes another Switch parallel, right? Is like, mm-hmm. Oh, you could dock it and then up your resolution and your whatever.
Well, the thing is, though, is you don't with the Switch. And the funny thing with the Switch, though, is.
Yeah, you is. Do. If you dock the Switch, it runs at 1080p. If you use it handheld, at 720.
No, what I mean was, though, is like the base version of the handheld of this is already at a higher resolution and frame rate than what the Switch has.
It is slightly higher resolution, yes, because the Switch is 720p, 16 by 9. This is 800p, basically. 16 by 10, but that's, I mean, you know, you're quibbling over just a tiny bit there.
Right. But I'm talking about though with a higher refresh rate as well, is what I'm getting at.
Well, the Switch can do 60. It's just no games actually do 60 games on it. That's the
really,
problem.
It can.
Yeah, it can. I mean, the hardware is capable of 60 hertz refresh rate on the display. It's just nothing actually does it because the CPU and GPU are so weak.
Hmm. Interesting.
At least that is my understanding. I've certainly been wrong before. So,
so with the new hardware spec, right? Then Steam finally has a platform.
Hold on a second.
Where they can say.
No. Hold on. I hate to interrupt. If you look down on their spec sheet, expansion, they talk about their micro SD. The UHSI supports SD, SDXC, and SDHC. External connectivity for controllers and displays. USB-C with DisplayPort 1.4 alt mode support. Up to 8K at 60 hertz or 4K at 120 hertz. USB 3.2 Gen 2.
Okay. Sorry, so what? Maybe I misunderstood the point you were making earlier then.
So I
was just saying the Switch is capable of 60 frames a second on its integrated screen.
Well, from what I'm seeing here, though, is it's saying that it can support up to 4K at 120 hertz.
The Steam Deck can, you're saying.
Right, when you plug it into the dock.
Well, but that's what I'm saying, is anything can advertise that. But can the hardware actually drive a game at that level? And the answer is almost certainly no.
Then why would they advertise that?
Because the hardware supports it. Like if you put Netflix on this thing, right? If there's a Netflix version for Steam Deck, you could watch Netflix, and I'm sure that it could display 4K out of the Steam Deck for Netflix, because the CPU and the GPU don't have to do very much to display a Netflix stream. But if you are talking about a game, unless the game is two triangles on the screen, there is no way that you are going to be able to actually be able to render a game at 120 frames a second at 4K on this thing.
In dock mode? All right.
Because the dock mode doesn't do anything different. I mean, it probably lets it run at full speed rather than the variable clock speed, but that's probably it. There's no indication that I've seen that the dock itself adds horsepower.
No, I'm sorry. I'm trying to put all of this stuff together because you had mentioned, and I'm not trying to like say that you're wrong, but I think we were just reading two different things here, because the GPU frequency for the Xbox Series X only goes to 1.56 gigahertz, and the GPU
right.
frequency for the Valve Steam Deck can get up to 1.6. So, I mean, I know it's only slightly higher.
Right, but it's also got less. If you look at the next line in that chart, that gets it to 1.6 teraflops versus the 4 teraflops that the Xbox Series S does, because it's got a much beefier GPU.
Interesting.
Even though the clock speed is different, the amount of cores in the GPU is substantially less on the Steam Deck.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I'm just trying to put this all together because the information seems confusing.
It is confusing, and that's why I'm trying to be very careful about what I say, so that we're
man,
your getting
rooster
the right information.
Is yelling. At
I know.
You.
I swear to God, the roosters, when it gets hot here in Texas, the chickens don't like to be out in the sun, which, you know, who can blame them? The building that I am in has a wood floor. It's a shed that we converted into living space. And so the cold air from me cranking the air conditioning in here seeps through the floor. It makes it really cool underneath because the ground is not level. So there's a gap. And the chickens love to climb under there. They found a couple spots where they can get under the building because it's nice and cool and it's in the shade. So they just hang out in there all day now in the summer. And the roosters, we have three roosters, so they're always somebody, one of them is crowing. So I apologize for the serenading that we're getting from the roosters.
So you have like feathered termites under the shed.
Basically, well, I'm in here working during the day, and every once in a while, like, one of them will jump and must hit their head or something on the floor, and I'm like freaking out, going, "What the hell is coming up through the ground to eat me?" I'm like picturing Tremors or something, you know, giant worm.
Chicken Tremors.
I feel like your whole problem would be solved if you just put an air conditioner in the chicken coop.
My wife has raised the possibility, because we have a window unit that isn't doing anything right now. She's like, "Well, we could run an extension cord and hook that up." I'm like, "No, we're not giving the chickens air conditioning. We're just not." They're stealing it now, but, you know, we're not giving it to them.
So for our three listeners that are left, that was more exciting than the entire 15 minutes before where you discussed
the hardware specs.
Yeah.
Well, I find it interesting just because it's hard to picture what this thing is going to be like. And like thinking of it as an Xbox Series S on a 720p screen in my hand helps me at least sort of visualize the experience. I don't think it's that bad. Like, I think that's tolerable in a portable system, but this thing is not going to be running any graphically intensive game at 4K. It's just not.
Right. So I think the thing is, like, day one, we will have umpteen videos that are, okay, here's this AAA game benchmarked on the Steam thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, so do we then have a metric in the store where it's like, okay, you are Steam handheld certified 60 frames a second, you get this seal of approval, and is that going to drag the game market to actually
lower
your specs to fit this device and get the Steam stamp of approval for their handheld or not?
One of the things that Digital Foundry was certainly talking about is, in their analysis, was the Xbox Series S is the kind of minimum, it is the weakest of the modern consoles, right? Because it's got the least horsepower. So the Steam Deck being roughly equivalent for the graphics that it has means that the minimum is sort of the same for the industry as it was before, which I think actually is a good thing.
Well, wait a minute. But the Series S, wait, the Xbox One X, not S, right? So you're talking about the Xbox One X, like last gen?
No, I am comparing the Steam Deck to the Series S.
Oh, the Series S. Like the
yes.
Okay, so the Series S is like the step down from the good one.
Yes. The Series S is the 1080p version of the Series X, which is the 4K monster.
Okay, so does the Series S do GT or RTX stuff?
It does. Yes.
Okay, so that means that this is going to be a handheld that can do ray tracing.
In theory, yes. I haven't seen any games do it beyond 30 frames a second.
Uh huh.
So, you know, you're giving up some frame rate to get.
Can I mine Bitcoin on it? Like, will there be a warehouse that's full of these?
It's probably not cost effective because you're paying for the screen, you're paying for the battery. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't, you know, you're but not
in a world
a good return.
In a world where the only available RTX cards have been run over by a steamroller in Malaysia, then I feel that, yeah, whatever.
Well, and to be fair, just to nitpick for a second, none of this stuff is RTX, because that's Nvidia's brand name for ray tracing. Since these are AMD cards, it's AMD's version of ray tracing, which
so
is
ADX, or
I don't know what it's called off the top
ATX
of my head.
No, ATX is a form factor,
right? That's
whatever
a case, but yes,
what a case.
I know. So the specs aren't maybe the most exciting for everybody, but I do think the comparison to this is a handheld Xbox Series S in power means that we aren't going to see a regression necessarily in terms of what game makers are shipping on PC, because they're presumably already tuning these games down to an equivalent level to get it to run on the Series S.
Okay, so now we have revealed the true nature of this thing, is that I install Windows, I install Xbox, and I play all my Game Pass shit on this thing, and now I have a mobile Xbox. Kapow!
Well, interestingly, you wouldn't even have to install Windows, because Chrome can do a progressive web app that allows you to play Xbox Series X game or Xbox X Cloud games through the web browser.
No, I don't even mean X Cloud. I mean natively. I have installed Halo on this thing.
But you can do that through running Steam. It. Right?
Well, does the Steam OS
free with my Game Pass?
That's true. That's true.
I'm just saying, it's an Xbox portable. Once you install Windows and the Xbox app, you now have an Xbox portable somewhat.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I don't know how well Windows on this thing. That's my big reservation. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, as when it comes out.
Well, and that's kind of the idea of what the Linux OS is supposed to be like with the Steam OS. Is it supposed to be enough lightweight operating system in the background mm-hmm. that it doesn't interfere with the performance of the rest of the... And I think the point that you're definitely making is like, you know, installing Windows on there could really drastically impact the performance of, like, the rest of the... Well, and for what's worth, I mean, Windows is whatever, but, I mean... You know, the point still stands, though, is there's still an opportunity that we could do more. I do think, though, that this might present present Microsoft an opportunity here. And what I mean by that is we've already seen Microsoft going after putting Game Pass in other places, right? They're trying mm-hmm. to work with TV manufacturers. They're trying to work with... you know, putting out the little dongle for the TVs. I think there's been rumors of them trying to get on Epic, but could you imagine like a natively supported like Game Pass like add-on to Steam? I mean, Microsoft's already putting its games on there. I mean, it could be rather interesting to see.
Well, they've basically got the hardware platform for the Xbox. As an example to Microsoft right here, right? Of like, here is the Xbox portable. You take those stupid touchpads off and you got it, right? So if this thing succeeds, I feel like Microsoft might be like, but if this doesn't, then they won't.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty low effort for them to port the Xbox app to Linux, given... that it could just be a web browser wrapped in an icon, effectively.
I mean an official first party mobile Xbox, because Microsoft might be crazy enough to do that.
Yeah. Well, and I guess what I'm saying is they could
be like, "Good night, Nintendo. We've taken over everything."
Well, my point is, I think Microsoft could get Game Pass on the Steam Deck unofficially. But to get it in the store, I don't know what business terms they would have to come to with Valve and whether they'd be willing to give up any of that Xbox subscription revenue to Valve if you signed up for Game Pass through Steam.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting.
I mean, just a first party, this is the new Xbox handheld that just has nothing to do with Steam. But mm-hmm. I really just don't see there being enough market for that. Honestly, especially since you can just stream shit to your phone and call it a day, right? But
I think that's their philosophy.
So here's my thing, though, is the use case. I mean, yeah, the pre-orders don't actually reflect actual consumption yet. So just because everybody threw $5 down doesn't mean they're really going to move that many units once the day one specs come out and we find out how it does or doesn't do. But if Steam put out an app that allowed you to run stuff on an Android tablet, right? You install the Steam thing and then you can install your Steam games in the app, right? Let's just say it just worked, right? Or it was Steam streaming from Steam and you could just, you know, you don't have to buy the hardware, but you can have this experience. You know, bring a controller, use your phone. How many people would use that? Or how many people would find out real quick, like, I'm not going to play all of the stuff that I play at my desktop just is not suitable to a 7-inch little screen, right? Like, can you see, oh, I'm going to sit in the park and play Warhammer Total War on my phone? No. I don't think that anybody would. So it's really like, again, what's the audience for this as a mobile platform? What games are suitable to do? Like, they're showing like Jedi Knight and Doom and Control. Yeah, it's a bunch of first person things, you know, that could easily be ported to Switch too, right? So it's I guess the form factor, the screen size, the resolution, the whatever is kind of limiting. And again, that makes me wonder, like, why did you put D-pads on there? Because I don't feel that I'm going to be playing like Age of Empires on my thing.
You talking about the touchpads?
Yeah, the touchpads.
Yeah, I don't quite understand the touchpads. I didn't like them on the Steam controller. I'm not convinced.
Well, I'm not opposed to a touchpad, right? Like, I think the one on the left would have been fine. If you're looking at the, if you take a look at this thing, the one on the left seems fine because you got the analog stick, you got the D-pad, and then you have the touchpad right there. On the right, what they could have done is they could have done an offset joystick with the other analog stick and brought that joystick down and moved the ABXY a little bit more to the left and kind of given you a little bit more of that Xbox style controller layout. Because this top inline controls kind of thing, I just feel like could be, I don't know. It doesn't seem conducive to me. I don't understand the point of having two. Like, what does two serve? Two trackpads.
Well, is it a touch screen? Like, that would have done it too.
No, I don't believe it is.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I don't think so. And I'm okay with that. No, we don't need touchscreens.
Well, how many Switch games actually take advantage of the touchscreen?
None. Quite a few.
Really?
Well, it's a low effort way to port a mouse, right? If you have a game,
but if you dock it, you can't. You lose it.
True.
You know, so it's a weird thing. Like, if it doesn't work in 100% of scenarios, then people aren't going to code for it. Right, it's like, hey, I got this weird peripheral, like we were talking about a couple weeks ago with the hey, here's this controller that you dock your Nintendo into and it adds a second thumbstick, like,
yep.
One game that supports that thing. And why? Because not everybody has it. Why do we take the time to code for it?
Yep.
Or the PlayStation, like, how many games actually use the motion controls in the PlayStation gamepad?
So right, so real quick, I wanted to highlight PC Gamer did a little performance expectations article, and in the conclusion they said Steam Deck isn't quite the powerhouse Valve claims it to be, but if you're happy to run your games on low to medium settings at 720p to hit 30 to 60 fps, then you should be happy playing PC games away from your desk with the Steam Deck. So, you know, that gives you some sense of what you're getting. That is assuming games that are, you know, modern engines that can scale down seamlessly. Otherwise, you're gonna have to do a lot of work to potentially port them. I don't know. I'm it's gonna be really interesting to see how much traction this gets. But Gabe, in an interview, said that he expects this to sell millions of units. So if that actually happens, then I think Steam has the potential. Valve can get a lot of developers to, you know, sort of do custom versions of their games, especially. And this is maybe this is probably worth talking about. So the amount of money that I make as a game publisher on Steam is directly proportional to how often my game is featured in sales. Because basically most modern AAA games are they have paid for them the development costs within the first month, right? So you pay off all of your investment making the game in the first month with your $60-$70, you know, $120 sale price with all the bells and whistles and whatever. So every penny you make after that first month is profit. So that's why we have this model where games go on sale super often, because if they get you to buy the game at $5, even if it's a $50 game, that's still $5 more than they had before, and they've already paid for the development, so it's free, literally free money for them. So what Valve, to your point earlier, Jim, if they start having like certification for, you know, 30 FPS on Steam Deck or whatever they come up with, you know, runs great on Steam Deck is a label that Valve applies, and then they start featuring those games more highly in the sales and stuff, that's a huge incentive for the developers and the publishers to support this thing and do optimized versions of their games for it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like one more way to get on the front page if they add like, yep, a plays good on this, or hey, we can have a Steam Deck sale. Like, here's all the games that are good on Steam Deck when the Steam Deck comes out. Pow, here's another sale. You know, another way to market the whatever. I don't know. I just look at this thing as like height of consumerism. Here's a product that until it's available, we never thought that we needed. And now suddenly they show us a picture and everybody comes up with a reason that they probably need it. But to me, it's too much effort to think of a reason that I would need the damn thing. So I just realized, like, no, I didn't need it yesterday. I don't need it today.
Well, here's, and this is not to try and justify it, but here's the thing that I've been running into a lot lately is I've been really enjoying the Steam Link app and playing Skyrim up on my couch, my PC version of Skyrim that if I wanted to, I could mod the crap out of. I could do all kinds of things. And I could still play it up and have that couch experience with a controller in hand and just and relax and enjoy what I'm doing. Here's what I see with this. This could easily replace my NVIDIA Shield TV and sit docked to my television doing the exact same thing that my NVIDIA Shield TV is doing. The only caveat is if I travel anywhere, instead of lugging around my gaming laptop, I could just take this thing and be done.
The simple answer is don't travel, and you save a lot of money that way, too.
Well, that's fair, but like, for example, I'm going to be traveling to Colorado. I'm going to be up in the mountains of Colorado in a couple of weeks, and where I'll be is they don't have a lot of great service in that area where I'm going to be at. So I mean, something like this to take with me to be able to, you know, play some games on from time to time and let it touch the internet every now and then, maybe would be fantastic, you know. Yeah. Granted, I'm still taking a laptop with me because it's a work thing, but you know, I don't have to. Yeah. The other nice thing about it too is I don't always have to think about like, how often do I use my gaming laptop? Well, I don't use my gaming laptop as much because I'm always on my main PC. But you see, if I have this thing plugged in all the time and always staying up to date on stuff, you know.
Yeah. Hey, maybe this thing, because it's meant to be portable and you're not always connected to the internet, will get them assholes to quit using always online DRM for everything.
We can hope. I you know, Finder, what you just said is really interesting to me. About like using it with your TV, and you know, I can't help but think like Valve already solved that when they made the Steam Link and it didn't sell terribly well. You know, it's been discontinued. You can still get them on eBay for about $50.
Right. Well, I got mine for $1 when they were doing that mass sale off of Steam. But the point I'm making though is the reason why the Steam Link app became nullified was because, or the Steam Link itself became nullified, was because they came out with the app, and I use the app all the time.
Right, but you have a $250, $300 NVIDIA Shield that you're running that app on, is my point, where you could just buy the Steam Link for $50 and get the same experience.
Or I could have, but they don't sell them anymore. That's the problem. But you see, right, the thing is, too, is like this also works on your phone. So you know how Microsoft's been pumping out the whole Game Pass on your phone kind of thing, and you can play these games, you know, their games on your phone. They've been talking about how you can, you know, you can now link a, you know, Xbox Series or Xbox One and Xbox Series controller to your phone because they're Bluetooth now, and you just get a controller clip for your phone and you're playing Xbox games on your phone. Well, the Steam Link app is the exact same experience. So
I totally get that. What I'm, my, the point I'm trying,
okay,
to make, all right, is that Valve failed horribly with the Steam Link hardware, despite it being an inexpensive way to get the Steam Link experience. Because even when it was being sold, it was not that expensive. So I'm just not sure, because there are all those other alternatives that you mentioned, how many people are going to buy a $600 or $400 Steam Deck for the docked experience. I guess the appeal is I take that docked experience with me, like you were saying.
I don't think they're going to buy it for the docked experience. I think they're going to buy it for the mobile experience. But I was saying that the added benefit in this case is the addition of the docked experience, because
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish your thought.
Well, if you're already going to buy it, you might as well get a docked too.
Well, I mean, in some regard, maybe. But the point I guess I was trying to make with it was is I do love the NVIDIA Shield, right? But as the time has gone on, as I've tried to use the NVIDIA Shield, I have had less of a positive experience using the Shield technology. And I'll give you an example in a second. But the Shield technology, the primary use case for my Shield TV right now is literally the Steam Link. I'm not even kidding. And even though it's a great, and for those home labbers out there and those like people who want to run their own media servers and stuff like that, the Steam Link is great for that too, because you can run the Plex service on there. So you can, like, you know, connect to your Plex server and watch it from your NVIDIA Shield TV. But the use case that I've run into recently where the NVIDIA Shield technology has been failing me is when I go to actually stream a game, do the NVIDIA game stream, because NVIDIA has that, from my PC to my Shield. Because I'm running six monitors, okay, the center monitor on the bottom is clearly set as my default in Windows. However, because of the way motherboards and Windows and all this stuff works, there's actually a thing called first monitor, and that's detected through the BIOS. So if you've ever noticed, if you've had multiple monitors where maybe your primary monitor is on one side, but whenever you boot up the computer, the BIOS and splash screen shows up on the other monitor, that's because the hardware on your computer is detecting that as the true primary display. Okay. You tackle all that stuff together, and then with a registry edit, if you can somehow get your primary display that you've set in Windows to also be the primary boot display set in the BIOS, and also make a registry change, then you can Steam Stream and it'll pick up the right monitor. Because when I try to NVIDIA Stream right now, a game or anything like that, it streams a different screen altogether on my computer and not the one that I use as the primary one in Windows. It's really weird, but I looked this up and there's a lot of people who have this problem right now. It's something that I feel like NVIDIA could fix by telling the thing to hook to whatever is set as primary in Windows, but they're not. And you'd think that they would be. So, like, my experience with that has been drastically declined, and I've been using the Steam Link experience instead for the last year and a half now. And I actually prefer it, because I prefer the Steam OS big picture mode interface. I actually really like that. And it just works. And plus, because of my connections with Playknight, I can import my emulators through Playknight and then export them into Steam, and then Steam Link stream those as well. So, you know, you want to talk about an emulator machine. I don't necessarily even have to have the emulators on my Steam Deck if I get one. I can just in-home Steam stream my emulators from my PC to this thing while I'm sitting on the couch or taking a shit. So, you know, it performs the same function. And the fact that Steam Link does work over the internet, if you've got a good internet connection at home and wherever you're at has a good internet connection, you're going to be having a pretty good time. So that's where my use case comes in. Now, I know I'm a little bit more niche because I'm not necessarily just an average consumer. I'm a sysadmin, data junkie, you know, whatever. But, you know, but at the same time, I think, though, that with all the features that they're talking about, the stuff, the Let's Play Together that Steam's been pushing on their page, the games, they even have a tag, they even have a category for games that are, have been, what they call optimized for Let's Play Together. They even have games that are optimized for Steam Link. They talk about, they actually have put in categories now where developers have optimized their games for these functionalities. And I think that's an awesome thing that, that they've been including and that they've been pushing. And I think, to Jim's point, where, you know, the Shield came out, not the Shield, but the Switch came out, and these indie devs got all over it by porting their stuff to it. I think when this comes out, I would not be surprised if more devs came out with more native support for whatever Steam OS is got going on behind the scenes. I truly think that Steam and Valve are onto something with this, despite my initial reservations, especially with its controller layout. But that aside, this could be the PC gamer's version of a Switch. I'm not saying it's going to replace the Switch, but it's that PC gamer market version of the Switch that I think could be very, very, very appealing. I think this is going to blow the GDP whatever thing out of the water. I think it's going to blow some of these other guys, these third-party market guys, out of the water as well. And I think Valve's going to cut themselves a pretty, and this is my prediction of what I think is going to happen with this.
My prediction is it's going to blow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Period. It'll blow.
All right.
I, despite having ordered one, our pre-order, put down $5 refundable, which is not very big commitment. I don't know. I'm curious to see it. I like playing with new hardware. I love mobile stuff, but the reality is kind of, you know, Jim, you said it jokingly, but like, if you don't leave your house, none of this really matters. I have, you know, a really nice gaming setup with a 4K OLED TV. That's where I want a game. I don't want a game on a crappy little 720p screen that I have to squint to read, being a little bit older and having glasses. Like, these tiny screens are hard to see. Where I see this being used are my kids.
Okay, so I do have a question for you, just as out of curiosity. So you have a Switch.
Yes.
Now, you primarily play your Switch docked, am I correct?
I would say exclusively I play it docked. My kids will play it undocked.
No, I'm talking about you. So, like, yep. I totally get it with your kids. We're talking about just Melified for a second.
Sure.
So how do you play? Because in talking to you in the past, you don't really like to be at your computer or at your laptop when you play games. Because we've talked about the whole in-home streaming stuff before. We've talked about those kinds of things and getting a couch experience while playing your PC stuff, right? You know, we've talked about that in the past. Are you still doing that, or have you gone back to using your dedicated PC machine for PC gaming?
I am at a IKEA dining room table in a gaming chair, and I have two PCs, about, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 consoles of various varieties within arm's length that are all set up and playable, plus the Mister. So, I mean, I'm a crazy person to begin with. But, like, my point is, I'm in a gaming chair. I'm at this table. I am not doing it in the couch on the TV because my stuff was taking over the family room, and my wife had some issues with that, which I understood.
So got evicted, huh?
I got moved out to my the detached shed that we have that's finished, or partially finished at least. And that's where I have my office, and that's where I have my gaming stuff now. So, if I'm going to game in the house, which I could do, I do have an Xbox Series X in there, and I have a crappy old laptop in there that I could do, like, remote play on. I just don't do that. Like, I have a tendency to just come out here and play because there's fewer distractions. The kids aren't asking me for shit. There's not my wife, you know, trying to vacuum under me or the dog's jumping on me or whatever. So, you know, that's my thing. But when I traveled all the time for, I had a Switch and I bought the Switch with the better battery life, specifically for traveling. But you know what I also brought was I had a hard case with an Xbox Series X or an Xbox One X that I brought with me everywhere, because it was a better experience to plug the Xbox Series X, Xbox One X into the hotel's TV and just pull out a controller and play that way than it was playing on the Switch with a dock in for me.
Sure. Okay, so I guess at the end of the day, that's kind of what I was going to get at, was if like you were still trying to do more of a remote play scenario, would you rather want to have one of these hooked up to your TV rather than a laptop for remote play?
So. I guess I would think this was neat because I could have games installed locally. And if I was going somewhere, like we were going on a road trip, I could bring this with me and play some PC stuff without having to lug, you know, a laptop around. But at least right now in my life, that's not, you know, something that happens too often. We have an RV though, and that's where, you know, I could definitely see this getting used. My kids though, when we go in the RV, they tend to bring their gaming laptops as well. So I don't know. I mean, my oldest loves PC gaming. He's quite the snob about it, actually. He's definitely got the Master Race gene working for him. And, you know, for him, like I got the Backbone One, which was the add-on for the iPhone, because we have an extra iPhone in the house that we keep service on for the kids as an emergencies if my wife and I are out of the house, because we don't have home phone service anymore. And I got the little controller for it with the thought that he could play Xbox Game Pass games on it. And that's when I mentioned earlier that, I found out that Steam Link actually does work on iOS now. So we put that on there for him, and he's excited because he can actually like play Destiny laying in bed, versus going and sitting in the gaming room that we have set up for the kids. So like, I do think there are those kind of use cases, but given the horsepower of this thing, it's probably never going to play Destiny natively. So he's always going to be tied to like a decent, you know, having a decent gaming PC, which is, you know, is fine, but that is not a cheap solution, right? That is a very, sure, very expensive option to pay, you know, between $400 and $650 for what amounts to a remote play that he could do on his phone.
No, that's fair. I think there's going to be slightly different use cases for each individual. I'm not saying I'm going to get one either. Like I'm excited for the proposition and the possibilities of this thing. And like you, I've got a $5 reservation that's fully refundable. So it's extremely low risk on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm slated for Q1 of next year, which these things are going to be coming out before then. So I'm excited to see, you know, because it's going to be the reviews of the initial launch that are going to make it or break it for me. Right. So it's just like, if this thing comes out and people hate it, then you know, all right, $5 back to me. But I mean, if it comes out and people are talking about all the good things about it and how well it is, then that's just going to be an additive incentive for me to be like, all right, well, this might be worth investing in. Because I've got several use cases I could use this thing for. You know, because I don't have kids yet, and I'm usually the one who cleans the house, so.
Well, and that's where it's, you know, everybody's situation is different. I don't use the mobile technology that I have already, so this one didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I can see that those use cases with my kids. And as we go back to a more normal lifestyle, you know, one of the things my kids did was they were at a co-op for homeschoolers 4 days a week, and a big part of that experience was gaming. And so being able to bring something like this versus a laptop might be really appealing in that scenario. So we'll see. To me, ultimately, if the developers support the platform and there are good games that play natively on this thing, that makes it a lot more attractive Even if I could play that same game on the PC, but we'll just have to see where it ends up. I'm not sure if developers, I think a lot of indie developers will jump on. I'm not sure if AAA developers will.
Well, right on. Final thoughts on this and the Switch stuff, guys, like with the OLED Switch. I'm really disappointed in the Switch stuff, honestly. Like, I really want to like a Switch, but again, I'm like you that I recently hooked up my Xbox 360 and my Wii U to my TV upstairs, and I reacquired all the Wii U stuff that I had on it, downloaded it again. So I've got like Breath of the Wild, I've got the Wind Waker HD remastered, and the Twilight Princess HD remaster on there. Mario Kart, Smash Bros, you know, just the standard staples of Nintendo. And I was just thinking to myself, because it's the Wii U, so it's got that little detached screen controller, which has been funny, because as my wife and I were watching Loki, I would sit there and play something while we were watching Loki on it, which was kind of nice. So it kind of gave me that thing of like, well, you know, do I want to invest in a Switch? But with these tiny little upgrades and advantages to it, if they're going to continue to do this trend of just like micro upgrades to their hardware, I'm not interested anymore. I just really am not.
Yeah, for me, the Switch, I was hoping for a Switch Pro like a lot of people were. I really thought that Nintendo, with their partnership with NVIDIA, could do a DLSS solution to get, you know, higher frame rates, better graphics out of the Switch without a whole new Switch, like sort of a Switch and a half. I also was really hoping for a standalone console, like cost reduce that thing, get rid of the Joy-Cons, get rid of the screen, you know, give me just a little box that I could hook up to my TV and play Switch games. I would be all over that. But we didn't get either of those things. And I think that the OLED screen is nice because I like OLED screens. They look really nice. It's a little bit bigger, which is never a bad thing. But I am not going to buy one. I don't expect I'll be, you know, I have any reason to. It's just not something that's of value to me at this point. I've also got a bunch. I already got 3 Switches, so it's not like I need another one. I suppose I could sell 2 of them, but the 2 that I would sell are the homebrew enabled ones. So,
well, for what it's worth, I mean, in either way, I'm excited for gaming future. I do think that there's a chance here that the Steam Deck could be pretty impactful, but knowing Steam's history with putting out hardware, there's also the chance of it flopping is rather high when you look at its track record. But I do have cautious optimism for this one. So, as opposed to the last stuff, I was not a fan of their controller. Even just looking at one, I was like, nope, right away. And then when I got to actually hold one, I noped even harder.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting experiment, you know, like what would twin track pads instead of thumbsticks do? And then we found out, like, it's for the same reason that I don't like playing touch screen games that have like a virtual thumbstick.
If Valve can figure that out on their own, because like with the Steam Link app, you can emulate the mouse stuff with an analog stick. They actually have it built into where, like, if you need to move the mouse, there's a thing where you can switch the analog stick to be a mouse, like right there in the app support. So it's like, we don't necessarily need the addition of trackpads, so that's why I'm curious about having 2. Like, what does 2 trackpads give me that the analog, like that one analog stick couldn't do? So, anywho.
Yeah, it would have made a lot more pad. Side was the trackpad, but
the only thing that I could see with this is potentially in certain PC style games, is if the 2 trackpads are used in conjunction where you could use your thumbs to zoom in on something, So it's like you stroke your thumbs on one on each trackpad to like zoom in and out with, if that makes sense. If you can picture what I'm thinking mm-hmm. there, that might be
like a pinch motion on the screen.
Right. So like you would take one thumb on each trackpad and you'd motion outwards to zoom in, motion inwards to zoom out.
So at this point, you've turned it into a mouse wheel. So they could have just put a physical wheel on the thing.
Well, one other thing we should mention briefly about
that's fair, deck, actually.
If you guys remember back in the day when Linux was, it was the year of Linux on the desktop, that from 2000 to 2020.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
Yeah, well, every year is the year of joke, but they used to have something called Wine, Wine, which was still there. Windows
is not an emulator or API. Something like that, or Wine is not an emulator.
Yeah, but the idea was that it emulated the Windows API calls and translated them into Linux API calls, which is not emulation. It is much faster than emulation. And they had some modest success with it for gaming. There is a next generation version of that called Proton, which the Steam OS supports. And Proton does allow you to run Windows games under Linux. And supposedly a lot of games run really well. But the people that are doing it with like actual full high-end gaming PCs. I don't know how much that's going to help you when it comes to a gaming on the Steam Deck, if that makes sense. I don't know if it has the horsepower to do that, so we'll see. But there is some hope that you could play, regular PC games on it as well. So
well, friends, I think that'll probably about cover it. I mean, we've definitely gone pretty all in on all this.
Yes, sir.
You guys have any final thoughts?
No, I think we covered everything.
Well, over on our Discord, we're still running our 100 for 100 giveaway, so feel free to jump on over there. For 100 members, we're going to be doing $100 of gift card giveaways, $25 gift card giveaways, so we got 4 of those. We're going to be giving out, so come on and join the Discord at discord.otherworlds.gg and join in on the fun.
Do we have any game servers?
We do, actually. We've got a Battlefield 4 server. If you're into some retro stuff, we have an Unreal Tournament 2004 server, and we also have a Minecraft server with that beautiful, beautiful ray tracing stuff going on, so it's a pretty good time. We're looking at potentially doing some other stuff. We also have community nights on Thursday nights, so come on over and RSVP for a community night. We have a nice little event calendar bot that you can RSVP with to get in on the different events that we do. So until then, we'll see you guys next time. This has been episode number 29.
Yeehaw.